Well, it's about time to begin for this afternoon worship service. I want to welcome everyone that's able to be here. Especially encourage them to be able to see the visitors that are not only here this evening, but also this morning. The only additional announcement that I was received this morning, didn't receive any additional, that the ladies' Bible class will be not tomorrow, but next week on Monday. Also, we need to remember Stacy that she is having surgery on her foot on Tuesday. Those who are traveling, I failed to mention all of them. Courtney has already left, and she will return hopefully by Thursday of this week. We need to remember both Dan and Howard as they are returning from their trip, and as well as Tim and Kirby, as they're also out as well. Those participating in worship service this evening, Brother Mark Mason has left the clock. The first one is on 55. Would you like to turn there? Brother Mark Devin has the opening prayer. Brother Tim, if there's anyone that still needs to be here, keep the opportunity to take the Lord's Supper. Brother Tim will be in charge of the Lord's Supper. Now, if it doesn't gain time, Brother Keith will also be having the closing prayer. If there's any others, please let me know or let someone know. We'll definitely make sure that that is announced.
After our discussion this morning about our Bible study about singing, I knew I had singing this afternoon, and I sat down in my song book and I carefully looked at the book and songs. And I went to see, of course, I knew all the songs. So this list seems like it's hastily thrown together. But still, we can still sing the songs.
Beyond this land of parting, losing and leaving, far beyond the lost, the dark and abyss, and far beyond the taking and the bereaving, lies the summer land of bliss. Land beyond, beyond so fair and bright, land beyond. Summer land, God is its light.
mind the Father of the Lord, so the Spirit of the Lord. Pray we can never take that for granted. This avenue of prayer is going to be free, and pray we do that on the day of the Father. No things that we'd like to say in our hearts and minds. We want to see the good Spirit to lay those ideas and thoughts that we have peace in our lives, Father, that we pray that we God do all this. Father, that we are temporary sojourners on this earth, and we need to be explaining your word and other folks who have opportunities to do so. I pray that the second person to do that, that we are in our life, our speech, our actions through our lives, obviously, open up our Bible and that place. So that if we plant water, Father, that I increase the belief, and so now for the blessing, just the local congregation, and the word spread, and the results of all the plenty of my brother Barry, and you do it, so I might be a media, if you can harvest it, you know that the field out there is plentiful, and this time, Father, we pray that you do the rose and away from us. Yes, that statement that he may assemble with us and encourage that apostle you with the elders, Father, of this congregation as they desire to be shepherds of this local flock, with us that are under the leadership and pray that don't leave with you and look upon thy word and glean from it and have the wisdom.
Is there anyone present who would like to take the Lord's Supper this morning? If I can say now, look at your hand. Lord, go ahead and listen to our time. Seek self before. Because that song is a song of courage. And we try to make this a blessing. Walk with that. Keep set.
see everybody out tonight. Appreciated Mark's prayer. A lot of his prayer was the sermon tonight and some of the things we'll be talking about. And, of course, even making reference to the building. Getting excited about that. A lot of things will be transpiring this month, the Lord willing. And probably end up owning the building. We might not necessarily be in it or renovating it, but we're supposed to be owning the building. And we need to keep praying for that as the funds continue to come and we're able to take things one step at a time toward securing our own place. You guys know we're in this series, Last Lesson. I know it's good for you. If you get into a series, you kind of get locked in. You know, before I left, and then when I was away in the meeting, we started this series on the what makes for a strong church. And we started off with the first lesson to adore the poor, to cleave and leave. And then, of course, last week we talked about heal and heal. This week we're going to be talking about growth and sowing. Strong church, growth and sowing. Growth and sowing. We want to be a strong church. Vocal, obviously. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19. You can't destroy the church. He said he was going to build his church. You can't destroy the Lord's church. I told you before, if every member of the River Ridge Church was present right now, wrote down, not working. But if somebody came in and killed us all, it would not have destroyed the church. They would have done away with the River Ridge Church, but you cannot destroy the Lord's church. Gates of Hades cannot prevail against them. But on a local level, I know we've grown of existence. Churches have. The church in Hidalgo, where we're getting the pews, Lord willing. They shut their doors. They serve their purpose for a time, and they're no longer. As long as we meet together, we have a goal, of course. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Now some of this stuff, again, I know it sounds repetitious because we've been going through the New Testament church on Sunday morning. So even before we went away, we dealt with a little bit of this subject. And then we're going to be talking about the church sowing. But growing. And you can't have a strong church without a growing church. And so we need to be challenging ourselves and making sure that things are set in place that we are able to grow. Mark mentioned in his prayer the responsibilities of the elders that they have in shepherding the flock. Parents have responsibility of bringing their children up to nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teaching and admonishing one another that we talked about this morning. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he gave for a reason. He himself gave some to be apostles in verse 11, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, who are elders, by the way, and teachers. For what reason? For the equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All that we're talking about tonight is contained right there in verse 12. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by which every joint supplies according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Edifying itself. Guys, we help each other. When I think about this church, you know, somebody says, is that River Ridge Church of Christ? Is that a strong church? Is that a strong church there? Well, yeah. If it's growing, it's a strong church. Now, obviously, I don't know the lives of everybody, but I tell you, as a church, we are putting everything in place to make it possible. So, in other words, we've often said that when companies come over. You guys have been in our home? What do we say when you leave? If you leave hungry, it's your fault. We always say that. If you leave hungry, it's your own fault.
Because we always say there's plenty of food for you to eat. And so what we as a church want to make sure, if you leave here and you're hungry, if you leave here and you're not growing, you're not doing your part. Unless we're not doing our part in providing those opportunities for you to grow. And so we have set in place a lot of different things, have we not? We have the bulletin. You know, it jumped into my head there. I was just sitting there going, oh yeah, this is the last, or was it next week? Because I checked two of them up. I think it's next week, that's right. Next week is the last one, completing 5 years. So 5 years of bulletin. We're almost here, 5 full years. And so usually put 2 articles a week in the bulletin. 500 articles. That you've had a chance to read. You know, you talk about sermons. 500 sermons you've heard. Not all for me, of course. We've had other people. Well, actually, it'd be more than that with the gospel meeting. So 500 sermons. Anything of Bible classes? 500 of them. Sunday, Wednesday, a week. Right? That's 100 a year. 500 Bible study classes. That doesn't include the Friday night class, the lady class, and other things that are put in place. There have just been so many opportunities for us to grow, that the church has put in place to make sure that this congregation can grow. And that's what's so wonderful about it. And here's a huge one. Hebrews chapter 5. What the church, within all of that, what we put in place, you might say, well, Chuck, that just sounds like this. You put a lot of things in place to help you grow. Okay? A lot of things to help you grow. No question. Helps me grow. But that's not the only thing we've provided you. Because as you guys know this text, Hebrews chapter 5, he says, for this time you ought to be teachers. Now, whoa, wait a minute. Why is the Hebrew writer telling his brethren, you ought to be teachers by now? Because what was put in place is for opportunities for you to be teachers by now. So what he's basically saying, it wasn't the church's fault. It was the individual's fault. You should be, you should be teachers by now. No, it was put in place for the edifying, for the building up of the body of Christ. And providing opportunities for brethren to develop their abilities is wondrous. It's great for you to have that sense of belonging. You know, people sign up. They want to take care of the Lord's Supper. People sign up for different things here to teach classes. Mine's going blank here. Other stuff. Okay. You know, but really, I mean, we've had ladies volunteer. Guys can do it too if you want. Fast typing stuff there, but we have people volunteering, typing up the transcript for the teaching program. Remember, you have to do that. It's the law for the transcript for a closed caption. And so Mallory and Kelsey have been doing it for a time. Samantha was doing it, and then she took a break, and that's okay. I was doing it, and then it's just a lot of work, okay? Those people have to hear everything. When Debbie used to do it for years, so I sent him the bulletin. He has to edit. Has to read every word. So when it said all said and done, who do you think gets more out of the bulletin? Probably me. Probably Dan. I'm writing it. He's editing it. Then I go back over his edit. Because sometimes he misses it. We put in place things to help us to grow. Song leader. I mean, you have talent. We're doing that. Leading prayer. Heading the table. The duties that are there. There are just so many opportunities that we have for this congregation to grow. If we're going to be a strong church, we need to always have them in place. We need to make sure that we're always providing those opportunities, as he mentions here. You ought to be teaching. Trying to encourage people to develop their ability. That's what we're responsible for doing. Having a teaching program, knowing what we are teaching the children and planning ahead. And Mark and I were just discussing that with the adult class, knowing what we're going to be discussing next. We're trying to keep ahead of things. Sometimes we get a little bit behind of all the other things going on right now. Mark mentioned in his prayer about the idea of opportunities that can come our way. When we have a building, there'll be opportunities. When we own the building, there'll be opportunities for brethren to come together and help one another for the work of the church. What is the building anyway? It's just a building, right? But it's a place where that we can gather to do what we're doing right now. That building, Lord willing, is a providing those opportunities? What about personal study? Are we providing those opportunities? Absolutely. If anybody here ever wants their own Bible study class, the people have asked for that, and we've had them. Get that. Very important. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's turn over there. 1 Peter chapter 2. Start at verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice and guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Did you get that? You're being built up. That's edification, folks. Being built up a spiritual house. And then he also talked about offering spiritual sacrifice. When I think of us coming together, you know who I'm looking at right now? The impact that you have on the children. I was actually this week, but I think this morning the pulpit I said, out of the mouth of babes, I'm typing it up. I typed it in the pulpit. We learn a lot from children, but we want to be an example for them. And so, encourage them. Not only just with your actions, but with your words, and just let them know how much we appreciate that. Because that's the church of tomorrow. And so we're all being built up in the things that we do for one another. Now, let's back up to Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment. We're talking about grow and sow. Providing those opportunities are one thing. It's another thing to take advantage of. Are you? You know, I tell my kids where they go? Go to a place you can use. And some kids, Jen and Nick just moved into Nashville. Dad, there's all kinds of churches around. You know, and Jen likes the idea, Dad, because I could probably just wish he was great. She likes the idea of going to a smaller group. Dad, I want us to go to a smaller group. There's large groups around. There's nothing wrong with that either. But she acts like, you know, like you go to a small group. I just want us to be a help to them and to be useful. And there'll probably be areas where we can be. And I just like the idea that we're always in that mindset of seeing areas where we can use our talent. Even the preaching that we're doing here, the invitations that we have. Just everything that is available to us, we need to take advantage of. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me pick it up in verse 19. He says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, and whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. I'm telling you this, folks. You build up a strong relationship with the Lord. That's 1 John, right? Walk in the light. He's in the light. And you have fellowship. If I'm walking in the light, if you're walking in the light, we have fellowship with the Lord, then we have fellowship with one another. Now this fellowship, the point I'm trying to make in Ephesians chapter 2 is, this relationship is strong. If this is strong, because this relationship is strong. You get this one first, is my point. You get this first, because that strong relationship that you have with the Lord, you're able to help one another. You're not going to be much of a help to me. I'm not going to be much of a help to you if I don't have this strong relationship with the Lord. If I'm not built, if it's not on a solid foundation, if I'm not growing. And that's what he wants me to do, as we read a moment ago. As newborn babes desire to stand up for the word. Nancy was just telling Chuck out there, not this stuff, you know, talking about, well, it's good to see you back tonight, you know. Well, yeah, I came back tonight to take advantage of the opportunity to grow, to learn more. And that's what we're doing here, folks. That's it. The church provides those opportunities for us to be edified, to be strengthened. But the byproduct of that, strength is. Hang around people who are not strong. How do you feel? No, seriously. How do you feel when you can't be with brethren? How do you feel? No, obviously you know that there's strength there. It's kind of like the family unit. All you guys have at one time or another been separated from family. Trey goes to Afghanistan. You know, I mean, Tony too, but take the last time she went. You know. So you're separated from distance. You know, yeah, you've got the phone, yeah, you've got the email, but it's not like being together. And for you and I, when we come together as the body of Christ, as the Christian, the Corinthian brother did, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17, when you come together as a church, folks, I hope that you and I understand that we are to be edifying each other, building one another up, and we're not tossed to and fro. How does that all come? The church has to put in place the opportunity for brotherhood. All kinds. Less or more. As much as we can. Within reason, obviously. Yeah, Tim and I could get together and we could say, you know, once we get the building, you know what I've missed? I've missed gospel. Now, whether it's a weekend meeting or a certain office or a week-long series, whatever it might be, that's kind of cool. You bring somebody in and we just get that time to spend each night during the week. But we could get together and say, we're going to do it for the next 2 months. Every night. But is it a wise thing? You know, and just you have to make those decisions. You know, let's use wisdom. I like what Mark said. We pray for wisdom. Okay, pray for wisdom. Let's try to implement the right things. We don't want to discourage the brethren. We want to encourage the brethren. We don't want to cause them to become weary. But in place, what we have is the opportunity for us to grow and for us to take advantage. Is this church? And what I'm saying is, well, like any church, are they providing the opportunity? And since we're talking about the church, we mean the people. So the next obvious question, are the members taking advantage of that? That's all. Whatever it is, whatever things that are there, are they growing? And hopefully that we are. That's not something that I can measure. I can't measure that. You know, when he says you ought to be teachers in Hebrews chapter 5, obviously there was something there that you could see where people didn't want to get that desire. Okay, we spent a lot of time on that, but I really want to spend a lot of time on this last. My favorite. There's a lot of favorite subjects I have, but nothing more than evangelism. I love talking about evangelism. I'm going back to Ephesians 2. I say back to Ephesians 2. Chapter 2, we were in chapter 4. Now we're in chapter 3. We should have just done an Ephesians study. Okay. You know why I get excited about the building? It's going to sound like I have just contradicted myself with a sermon I preached a long time ago. On what the building is not. The idea that the building is, you need a building for evangelism. You don't need a building for evangelism, but a building can be useful in it. I know it's true. From 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Remember, Paul said, when those who are unbelievers come into your midst, you don't have an interpreter, they hear you getting up, they're going to think you're mad. Consider the visitor in your midst. So I know, even in the first century, they had visitors. We want visitors. People have invited people here. Unfortunately, people have their own perception of what the church ought to be. I'm not saying it's right, but you can expect people that are not Christians to have non-biblical ideas. I get that. I get that the world, somebody walks in here and they're going to go, that's a church? You guys know you're in a library, right? Yeah. They, when they look in here, they're wondering, you know what they're looking for, right? Where's your sanctuary? Where's your sanctuary? Well, at least if we have our own building, we wouldn't take it. But see, when they walk in, they're going to look like, oh, now there's a sanctuary. No, it's not. But as they learn, they're going to understand. It's just an auditorium. A think that we have witnessed here, and I have personally witnessed, people have come in, they have their own ideas. The world has their own ideas. I'm telling you that the opportunities are going to come, not just because of the building, but because of more stable environment. Evangelism. That's what it's all about. Ephesians chapter 3, the church needs to be focused on it. This church, if it's going to be a strong church, never needs to lose sight of reaching the lost. Ever. And it should be evident. He says in Ephesians chapter 3, let's pick it up at verse 8, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles and search for reason. And to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things in Christ. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith. The manifold wisdom of God needs to be made known by the church. Wanting people to know where we are, getting our name out there, letting people know that we're here and we're spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want them to know, what is our purpose here? We said that on the radio today. Our purpose for the program of Study the Word is to study the Word. We tell them it's to find the truth, to encourage people to hunger for the truth. We base it on the morning Bible lesson. The question that Pilate asked, what is truth? We have to get that message out to people. 2 Corinthians 11. We're going to sow near and far. Lord willing. We have to have goals. And the church needs to think that way. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. Okay? And let's pick it up in about verse 7. He said, did I commit sin in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister. And the face straight up says, I can't do it. I have to. That we can support people to grow up free. That's exciting. What we're doing now, even though we can't do that, doesn't mean we're not doing anything. You're supporting me. You're supporting the effort down here to some degree. You're supporting me, not totally, but we're trying to get this built. I have outside support. I have brethren that are supporting me. But it's so encouraging to see the desire of churches wanting to support other people. I have received phone calls within the last few months of brethren that I know that have been asking for support, and churches have called me and said, Chuck, do you know Brother Sunday? Yeah, I do. Well, what can you tell me about it? Anything you want to know, he thought it's true. And so I'll just tell you what you want to know. And then I'm encouraged. And other people have called about other individuals, and I said, yes, sir, by all means. I think you need to talk to him about what he believes. I'm not going to tell somebody what somebody believes. You ask them. But as far as their reputation, the kind of attitude they have, kind of work ethic that they have, I'm glad to tell you about that. And wouldn't that be cool? We have a man come in and preach for us, and we help support a certain area. That's kind of cool. Doesn't mean we're not working now. We are. We're working within our limitations. But I'm saying a strong church thinks in terms of evangelism. So we're looking down the road. We're getting excited about it. I get excited about things. I'm not looking at just getting a building. I'm looking at getting a building and filling it up with people. You know, don't we think that way? Who did Jesus come to save, by the way? The world. Okay? I get excited about that. So there are going to be people who are, even curiosity people, they're going to be going, yeah. Now, I mentioned that couple this morning. Remember I mentioned a couple that go to two different places and work? The one lady said, oh, yeah. We're down there. She knew where we were. And so that's the point. We want to get the word. word out of the kind of people that we are, we're not going anywhere at the point. Lord willing, we're not going anywhere. We're going to be somewhat in the face of people of getting the gospel out, as Mark mentioned in his prayer. We're going to plant water. We're going to what? Plant water. We're going to what? Plant water. Keep planting the water. Keep planting them water. We're not going to stop teaching the word, guys. Now, you see how it goes together, though, with our first one? We're not going to do much of that if we're not a strong church in the area of growing. Growing so. Are we being built up? Are we getting stronger? Is our faith increasing? Are we getting weak? We're getting weak, but we're not taking advantage of the opportunities that are there. Am I actually preaching the Word of God? Can you find people who are excited about evangelism and not growing? It's possible. You can have that. Romans chapter 10, you can have people that have zeal, but not according to knowledge. That can happen. So we don't really want that, but we want them together, guys, working together. We're built, being built up in the faith. The confidence that we had in our lesson this morning, 100% sure. Don't you get excited about that? Have you ever believed in a product, guys, really? Really believed in something other than Christianity? Have you really? I'm not going to preach it for the pulpit, you know, because I don't want to use this as a platform to push a product. But let me make something up. A really good hockey stick. And I like this hockey stick. I mean, this thing really works. You really like a product, you're willing to talk about it. You promote it. You encourage people to show some interest in it. I know it's a bad example. No, cut me some slack. But here it is. When it comes to evangelism, when it comes to the Word of God, don't you believe in it? You obeyed it, didn't you? You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to you. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Have we forgotten? We received it. We gladly received the Word, right? Why did you do that? Remember when you got coaxed into some product? Wow, sure, I'll buy that. I'll buy it. I mean, we worked in these state fairs. We call it state fair, but up in Canada. That's where we had our Bible booth. But folks, there were thousands and thousands of people selling stuff. They had these things that, these yellow chamois things, you know, and they pour this coke on a little carpet there, some carpet, and they take that thing, and it would soak it all up. Everybody's like, yeah, I want that. You know, people are buying it left and right, okay? They're sold on the product. But he's selling the product. He's showing his enthusiasm. And we as a congregation are interested in showing our enthusiasm of getting the gospel out. Philippians chapter 4, you can just tell the rapport that Paul had with the brethren. Philippians chapter 4, he says in verse 15, he says, now you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church, he said, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you send aid once and again for my necessity. What a bond there of just wanting to support somebody to go preach the gospel. You know, a lot of people don't know this. That when we moved to Nebraska, Debbie was expecting. I remember announcing at a going away party. Well, we're not leaving as a family of four. We're leaving as a family of five. I go, wow, that's how we announced our leaving when they had this party. I mean, they knew we were going. But anyway, we moved down there, pre-existing condition. Can't get insurance. We had nothing. One of the churches that support us and preach the gospel helped us. A bond, a relationship. You know, I remember standing in line to this day. I don't think I need to go tell you this, but I can remember standing in line. I had to go get some stamps. I'm standing in line. I got there, but I. And when you get a letter that's not at the first of the month from a church that supports you, it's in the middle of the month, you know what you think? This is the letter that says, I'm sorry, we're warning you that we're cutting off your support. So I didn't want to open the letter. So I'm standing in line, and I open the letter, and there's this check in thing. And they knew that Debbie had given birth and wanted to help us out. And I mean, I just like welling up with tears that they took an interest in the work that we're doing, they're supporting us to preach the gospel. It's all part us. We're saving, and we're going to be purchasing the building. But right now, you know, your money's being used. We're mailing out, I don't know, close to 100 bulletins. And we're supporting a TV program, a radio program. You're supporting a preacher. Okay. So the money that's being used is used for evangelism. We're getting the word out, and we're excited about that. We use that as a church and on an individual basis.
A strong church, definitely. Strong church. Evangelize.
Kim and I haven't talked about this yet, and I'm not jumping the gun. These are just thoughts. These are just thoughts. We get the building, we need a meeting. We need a meeting, and probably, I'm thinking about different preachers from the area, different night of the week, and just bring your lesson on evangelism or whatever, or, you know, fundamentals. Just invite people, you know, because we're not going to say grand opening. You know, we're not going to do that. But the point is, there's going to be a time when we're going to have, you know, we're over there. We're excited. And we're starting to, we're not in the library anymore. And we have our own place. But we can use it as a tool to invite people, even if they're curious. But you know what? You have people hearing the gospel. Let's stir up some interest. Let's get people wanting to have some Bible study. Let's save some souls. That's what we're all about here, right? Yeah, we want to be edified, but, you know, do we really want to focus on the lost? Yeah. I mean, I love you guys, but, you know, I'd like to see more. You know, I love my family, but I want a larger family. You know, when Nathan was born, that's great. If we have more, yeah, if Lee is born, can we stop? You know, but the point is, we're never going to stop. We don't want to have that attitude that we want to stop with this family. Now, let's move on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it just builds on this, guys. I get excited about evangelism, of reaching the lost. Let God give the increase. Mark was 100% right in his prayer. We plant and water, but boys, this is what we're talking about. Like, plant, water. Just keep doing. And just don't worry about the results is what I'm saying. Do not worry about the results. And I'm thankful that I have presently three churches that support me, but with outside support, that don't do what I had when I first started preaching, when they gave me a piece of paper, some churches just gave me a piece of paper that wanted me to check off how many conversions, how many restorations, how many movements. Don't want to know what I've done this past month? No, just give us the results. We want to see the results. Sometimes results, long time coming. You know, and sometimes you're like Noah. Me and the family. You know, not for lack of preaching. You know, and sometimes it's right. But you like people that know that, are you just working? Just do it. Just keep working. Keep working. I don't care. And brethren, when we support God, I'll have you know, whether I'm an elder or not 10 years from now, but the point is, if we're supporting somebody to preach the gospel, there's not going to be that. Well, so how many conversions do you have left? Having been down that road, that's not the kind of attitude. It's like, what efforts are being put forth? Sow the seed. Are you sowing the seed? That's what God wants us to do. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9, beginning. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to you. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing this, knowing that, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are also known of God, and I also trust are well known in your heart. Folks, you guys are coming in contact with, and I am every day, if you get it lost. All the time. But I get excited. You know, you would think after 32 years of preaching, when a guy calls me up on the phone and says, yeah, what do you mean? You'd think after 32 years of preaching, I'd get it in my head that chances are he's not coming the next Sunday. But no, not me. I get all excited, prepare a sermon that maybe he's going to show up and help him understand what the church is all about and what we're all about. Get discouraged? No. Somebody signs up for a correspondence course. Do you know how many people I have sent correspondence courses to since I've been here? That's your job. Probably have a heart attack. Where are they? Where's all the people? Well, then I'd have to tell you how many people sent back letters. And so the point is, why do I get excited about that? Same way you do when you pray about it. You guys are praying about these efforts that we're putting out there because there's people just like you out there. Who's that? People that come to the door. That's why. One of our most recent, we got EJ and we got Nancy. Nancy walks in the door. Okay. This was new to Nancy. Not as much to EJ, but EJ, you know, was a Christian. Is a Christian, put it that way. Nancy comes in, sits in for a little while, and isn't very long. She's going, okay, I want to do it now. I'll get back. How does that happen? I'll tell you how that happens, folks. And you can talk to her about that and why EJ's still here. Is that people come in and they see a church that's growing, and they see a church that's sowing, and the people that are learning the truth and wanting to obey. But what about those who haven't, Chuck? What about those who've stayed in their seat, Chuck, and haven't obeyed the gospel? It's not for the last. Remember that. It's still free will. People still have the ability to say no. And that's why we're not worried about the results, per se. We know the terror of the Lord. We know judgment day is coming. And that's why we're mindful of our example. We're out in the community, and we want to set a good example. And I guarantee you that when we have the building in our own, will we care about the landscape? Yeah. I'll care about the landscape. If there's trash outside, I'm going to be concerned about the trash. I'm going to be concerned about the impressions that people will have. First impression. If they can't even maintain their ground, they obviously don't care about too much about anything. Impressions mean everything. And so we want things to be clean and neat, but the point is, we're interested in the law. I love the attitude of Paul. Romans chapter 1. I love his attitude of feeling like he's indebted. And I guess that's always going to be me, and I know that's you too. I don't know how many times folks have said, why me? Why am I here? Why am I here preaching the gospel? Northern Ontario, small little town. How did I end up going to church? How am I end up in Newburgh, Indiana? Well, I'll tell you this. I love the attitude of Paul. He said in verse 14 of chapter 1 of Romans, I am a debtor both to the Greeks, the barbarians, the wise, and the unwise. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's what gets me excited about radio, TV, bulletins, sermons, whatever chance we get a chance to have a Bible study with people, because of the power right here. I know if somebody comes in who's looking for the truth, they come to the right place. We're going to provide for them. Because we're sowing. We're sowing. No, somebody comes in here, no. I know they're a visitor. I know. You guys know I'll go on a tangent sometime. And I want to give them something because I want to do some sowing. I'll do some sowing. And we do that. You go up and you talk to them. You welcome them. You make them feel welcome here. And we send them a thank you letter for coming. And we said, we hope we made you feel welcome. You have an important role in that, guys. And that's all part of the sowing process of showing interest. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men because we're concerned for their spiritual well-being. Do you want anybody lost? What about family and friends? We're going to provide them with opportunities. And I'm sure maybe some of you, it crossed your mind. Well, there's somebody I'd like to invite here, but as soon as they know it's a school, I understand, because that's the world. I do. It's sad that they're going to think, that some people will think that once we have our building, well, now you guys are a church. Well, it's sad that they're going to think that, but that's the way they think. And because they think that way, I know some doors will open. That's good. But they need to learn, what I'm saying. And we take advantage of those opportunities. Well, what's the appropriate verse to quote? Yeah. Mark 16:16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not. Folks, we need to preach the gospel to everybody. And may that always be our goal and be excited about it. We're not going to be the type to sit down and discuss the future as far as evangelistic efforts and say, well, that didn't produce a lot of results, but we're not going to do anything. We're not going to do any evangelistic efforts What do gospel meetings do anymore? Really, what did the TV do? What has the radio done? What has the bulletin done? You know how much money we could have saved over the years if we didn't do any of those things? Say, well, yeah, we could have saved a lot of money, but you know what? We wouldn't have been a strong church. We would have been a very, very weak church with a big bank. What good is that? The Lord just says, I am one. Grow, brethren, and sow, brethren. That's why we're here. And what a joy it is to be a part of a congregation. When I'm away, you know what I say when I come back? It's good to be home. It's good to be back with my family. I know it's good to be with Paducah. They're my family. But they're just kind of like my extended. This is the immediate thing. And it's good to be back with those. We have these things in common. Brethren, let's stay a strong church, but I know that we have to bring it down to an individual level. Do you have that desire to really want to hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you set those goals to try to improve yourself in different areas of your life? Do you write down some things that you need to work on in your life? That's how you grow, folks, because you can't go through life just repenting of sins in a generic sense. Help me with this, Lord. Pray specifically. I want to become better in this. I want to grow. I need strength in this area. Are you really the type of person that is being edified? Taking advantage of that. Secondly, are you evangelizing? Are we taking the opportunity of planting and watering when the opportunity comes? Do we tell people about where we're going and I'm late for this? And maybe open up a door. Go out of your way to say that you're late. I got to go. I mean, nothing more than what these parents do with their kids. What an opportunity with other parents. Where are you going? Oh, we're going to Bible study. Uh-huh. Yeah. You want to come? But the point is, you set an example. Opportunities to plant and sow in different areas and different ways. Let's always take advantage of it. Let's be excited for the future. Let's pray about it. Let's be a strong church. You're suddenly become a child of God or in this world. We're here to help us. We stand together and sing the song that was announced.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to
Thank you.
Praying for her, and this was the part of the phone calls.